This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of May of the year 2019. It's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is going to be found in St. John chapter number 5 and verse number 14. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee, or unto thee. The title for this message is, Sin no more, or else. The message for this month has to do with what I would say is something that is critical to all of us, both saved and not. And that is, there are consequences to sin that are bad enough, but even worse if someone is forgiven or warned by Christ, then goes on to continue in it. If you will look at the account of what happened in the subject verse, which is the final statement by Christ to a man that he had just previously healed, you will see that there is a stern warning. That warning for the man to straighten up his life, or else he would suffer something worse. What Jesus is saying here should be of great concern, especially to those that have been healed and delivered by Christ from some affliction, sickness, or disease. And that is, continue in sin, and you will be running the risk of having something worse happening to you. In fact, I would say the likelihood of this being the case is almost guaranteed. Why? Because Jesus said it. Throughout the Bible, there are many instances where accounts of situations are given by people where what is being said is based on observation or hearsay. And because of this, many will say that that is a biblical truth for us to follow. But upon close examination, we see that what was said was based largely on opinion rather than facts. The story of Job and his saying that so many Christians have become familiar with being quoted as funerals, that is not a biblical truth, but is treated as if it is because it is in the Bible. After he loses all his children, his wealth and such in one day, Job makes the statement, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." You can find that in Job chapter 1, verse number 21. Now, even though this statement is in the Bible, it is not a true statement. Because if you read the entire account of what took place from verse number 1, you will see that God did not do anything to Job. It was Satan. The only reason it is in the Bible is because Job said it. And he only said it because this is what he thought was the case. In other words, it was his opinion that was not based on the facts. There are, however, other instances where what is being said is attributed to coming straight from the mouth of God, and as such should be adhered to no matter what. A lot of us, both Christian and unsaved, tend to be confused as to what is and is not the correct position to take on our actions concerning what is right and wrong. The reason being, a lot of scripture tends to leave us hanging, meaning it could mean this or it could mean that. These scriptures are the ones where, without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, one could easily be misled into thinking one thing when it is in totally error. This particular scripture and another similar to it are clear examples of a warning coming from Christ Himself that behooves all of us to pay strict attention to. The other scripture is found in St. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, where he warns a woman who was caught in adultery that she should go her way and sin no more after he had forgiven her. As I have mentioned hundreds of times in the past, my position on things that Christ says is not to be taken as a suggestion, but rather a command. Suggestions are meant to give a person more than one choice on how to respond to different situations, even though the person giving it would like the listener to do things their way, it doesn't mean they have to follow it. Commands, on the other hand, carry with them the threat of some sort of punishment or retribution if they are not followed. Most of the problems mankind is suffering from today are the direct result of our continually engaging in behavior that God has told us to stay away from. And as I mentioned, since this comes directly from God, it is a command and not a suggestion. But we treat it as a suggestion, meaning we can either take it or find some other way to follow. It is like you wanting to go somewhere, like your job, and you are going to leave from home. You normally go the same route all the time. However, there are times you might have to stop off someplace before going in that would require you to take a different path to get there. In this instance, there is more than one way to get to your destination. However, your preferred way is the one you designate as the best. However, once you get to your job, there is usually one way to get in, and that has to do with which doors you are to enter and the procedure you have to go through to sign in. If you choose to go another way, consequences could be a warning or even a dismissal. A lot of times you will get a warning first, then if you continue, then more severe measures may be taken. You know about that. As a parent, you most likely warn your child or your children about something that they are doing to get them to stop. If they obey, fine. But if they ignore you, then the next logical step is some sort of punishment, right? Well, if this is logical to you on a carnal level, then how much more do you think God reacts to our continually ignoring His warnings? If you will look at what happened to Egypt when God continually warned Pharaoh to let my people go, you will see a progression of the seriousness of each of the plagues that He sent on them leading up to the deaths of their firstborn. So the precedent is there as a warning to turn away from our sinful ways or else. The history of this nation is one that was founded on the principles of the Word of God. God and His principles are mentioned in one form or another throughout all of the documents that set up the foundation of this nation. And because of this recognition of Him and His Word, He in turn blessed this nation to become the strongest, most powerful, and prosperous nation on the earth. Even those in this nation that did not know Him were partakers of those blessings. In fact, people from all over the world flocked to this nation in hopes of being blessed. However, as time went on, things started to change in our recognition of God when those that were looked on as God's spokespersons began to move away from adhering to God's word and started listening to those that wanted to hear something other than what God says. And it wasn't long that the message from these men and women was not what God says, but rather what those that are educated in the public institutions of higher learning interpreted what God said. And the main thing that they began to refute is the notion that there is any such thing as sin. And therefore, what was identified as sin became a sickness or a disease that they could treat with drugs or some type of therapy. You didn't need God for what you were doing. If they couldn't cure it with drugs or therapy, they announced that the person was made that way by God, and as such, there was no need to apologize for what God made him or her. Males started to view their homosexuality as something that God made them to be, that was a special gift to mankind. With the females, it was basically the same thing. The thing that I want you to see is that everything that was done was for one set purpose, and that is to get man to feel good about doing what God says is sin. And as such, he would have no reason to want to repent. The result is a nation that is fast approaching its demise because of everything that it is doing to bring God's wrath on itself. We have become a nation that, according to other nations in the Bible that God destroyed, we have surpassed them in the evil that they were engaging in legally with no remorse. And how have we gotten like that, or gotten to this point? Isaiah chapter 1 verse number 23 says, "Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards." This is saying that the leaders of the nations have become more interested in attracting those that will heap praise, honor, and riches on them. And the reason the leaders are like this is preachers who themselves have turned from what God says and have been corrupted by what man says. Back then, as well as today, the leaders usually sought counsel from the man of God for the direction of how to proceed in running the nation. Consequently, whatever the man of God told them, if they followed those directions, they and the nations would be blessed. However, if they didn't follow them, the result was destruction. However, the other element that is not usually looked at is the message that the man of God delivered to them. If the person giving the message has been themselves corrupted, then the message is corrupted, and therefore, whatever the results are for those that followed it, the blame will be on this person. We have a plethora of preachers in this nation, and especially in the black community, that are in this position of having been corrupted by power and riches, whose message to those to seek them for direction will only cause those that follow them to incur God's wrath. In this nation, there are people that go around impersonating police and other authority figures for evil purposes, that when caught, they pay a steep price. Why? Because they help destroy the image of and trust in those agencies. By the same token, there are people running around among us that are essentially impersonating messengers of God for the express purpose of benefiting from their position, while at the same time making God and His Word look foolish. God is not having it. He will deal with these individuals in such a way that will put them to shame. However, remember this: sin is sin. God will forgive you if you repent, but you must make the effort to keep yourself from going back into it. Otherwise, you may end up worse off. Well, that's the end of our message for this session, and I hope that you got something from it. And as you can tell, this is something that is an ongoing, I would say, pandemic, but it's actually worse than that, where people just doing any and everything they feel like doing. They don't want to have anything to do with God, as long as it's something telling them, especially if it's a message that tells them that they need to quit doing what they're doing. Now, if it's a message supposedly coming from God that tells them that they're okay, that they're fine, just keep on doing it, God's going to bless you anyway, He forgives you, He understands you. We've got this commercial that shows up on TV every so often, where it says, it shows some little snippets of different circumstances from different people's lives or something. And then you get the wording put up there is that Jesus gets us, all of us. And the message that a lot of people are getting from that is that Jesus isn't as judgmental as the church, those of us that are spiritually led, is leading the people to believe that Jesus is, you know, there's some wiggle room in there for us to continue in our way. Why? Because He's been in our shoes, He's walked in our shoes, and consequently, that means that He understands us and knows that we can't be perfect, even though the Bible tells us that we must be perfect if we want to get into heaven. We must be righteous. But yet and still, here comes this message that Jesus gets us, all of us, that He's just like us, and as such, that basically lowers Jesus to not being a divine, righteous, and holy individual, to being just like man. just like if you read in the book of Romans chapter number 1 and starting at verse number I'm going to start at verse number 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now get part number, verse number 23 here. It says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And in verse number 24 it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, essentially, what this is showing us is man has this habit and has had it in the past, so it's nothing new, where they try to take a God, a holy, righteous, and just individual entity, and change him and the image of what he is, majestic and all of those other things, pure holiness, righteousness, truth, and everything else, and turn him into nothing more than someone else. And as a result, that means he can make mistakes. He can be forgetful. He can be corrected, and we have to have people that are educated to correct him on how he should run things. In other words, we put him basically lower than what man is in relationship to God now. So you see, all of this stuff ties in together. So where God says, you know, that if you don't, if you do this or don't do that, what you're going to suffer, they're saying, oh, that's just the ramblings of some old out of touch person or individual that lived 2,000 years or 3,000 years or so ago, or old, in the Old Testament times. He's a figment of his imagination, always trying to lower him down to something where people will not honor him for who and what he is, and then expect to go on with their lives. And God, I tell you before, is not having it. There's a price to pay for our ignorance, especially if fools. And as a result, that's why we see the mess going on in the world and in this nation, and especially the black community today, because basically we got a bunch of fools running for leadership in this nation, in politics and things like that. And talking about those that don't honor God, those are the fools that I'm talking about. People would try to say, well, the Republicans are fools too. No, well, most of the Republicans that I know honor God to the point that they try to live according to what God says is right and wrong. It's the Democrats that want to try to lower him down to the standards of man so that they can feel comfortable supporting the things that they're doing, because this is where they get their power and their money and their prestige from fools and ungodliness and unholiness, and God says there's a price to pay for it. So in closing, let me just say to you and yours, I hope that you got something from this message. And until we get together again for another message from the Word of God, this is Evangelist George McTyre saying, may God bless you and your families real good. Good day. And like if you read and write.